What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to the Press Row Podcast. It's been a little while. I am so happy to be here with my good friend Brian Weedye, a.k.a. Pasta Padre. Brian, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing good, Rich. You know, it's been a while. We're really deep into our Madden franchise season, which is very exciting, and we'll have a lot to talk about there. But I thought it was a good time to get back together and chat about, you know, what games we're still playing here as the end of the year approaches, kind of where we see the genre as it stands now. And the next year or two ahead that look like they might be pretty interesting. Or we'll just end up talking about nonsense for over an hour.
However long. Whatever. Yeah. It's all good. Yeah. At this point, we are so sporadic. The very amazingly, wonderfully high number of people who still listen to the show, number one, thank you. You know, life changes a lot, and sometimes it changes slowly over time, and sometimes it changes quickly. I'm just glad we every once in a while, Brian, you and I can get together and do the Press Row Podcast. I think that's fun. I really do.
Yeah, I think a lot of people over the last almost 2 years now, perspectives have changed. What type of entertainment they enjoy has changed. How they escape from the day to day world and all of that. And it's. You know, it's a very different landscape for gaming, which is still moving right along very successfully, of course. But I think how people approach it, because I know I'm not alone in feeling different now than I did before everything started. And so it's interesting to see that happening. We're also seeing a lot of changes in the industry, and we're seeing the way things are progressing with subscription services and monetization and all of that, and the return of several highly anticipated franchises, I would say, on the horizon in the next year or two. And then, yeah, games that you might not be able to classify necessarily as sports, like racing. Some people would slide it in there, some wouldn't. But, I mean, that's going very strong right now, too, and we'll be talking about that and everything we're getting through. Like Xbox Game Pass and everything. But, you know, it's good just to reconnect with you, Rich. We've been staying connected through our Madden franchise in the fourth string league, which I...
And are also you, me, and was it Dylan? The three-man Madden league as well, which we're also... most definitely going to have to touch on tonight.
Well,
Brian.
Yeah, you have a happier stories there.
I do.
I did beat you in the first iteration of that in the Super Bowl.
So. Absolutely. Yeah. No, we can talk about all of
those.
There's
a lot to get into, but yeah.
A lot to get into.
It's good to get back and talking again. And, you know, at this time of the year, we might have... In most other years, we'd be talking about sports games of the year, biggest stories of the year.
Yeah, and
it all feels so irrelevant, honestly, right?
That's part of it. And not irrelevant in that sports games are irrelevant. Far from it. Sports games are incredibly relevant, right? They're a big part of the conversation. Irrelevant in that, you know, it's just it's different. In some ways it would be easy, and in other ways it would be almost impossible, but I don't know. A lot of the same games are still made, right? And they're all to varying levels of high quality, you know? So it's just, I don't know. Maybe it's just it's clearly it's you and me, right? Because we're in different places in our lives and careers where that's not even, you know, that's not really what the conversation is even about anymore with us. It is with other people, and that's fine. It's just that's not the conversation with us, and that's totally cool. It's totally cool.
I think it's debatable that the games are in great places right now.
I think they're all the games that I play are great. I'm telling you, right? And I'm not a shill. I'm not saying that for any other reason other than I absolutely mean it. I wouldn't say it if I didn't mean it. Now, I don't play all the games, okay? But all the games that I play are great to me. I understand they're not necessarily great to others. I'm saying purely and only to me, the games are great. Because if they weren't, Brian, I wouldn't play them. Because I have so many great choices and so limited available time. You know what I mean? It's easy for me to only play the great games because, you know, if it's not great, it's not even going to make it into the rotation.
I think the question for you then would be, because you play them in very specific and limited yes. ways, right?
You found
the way that you enjoy these games, and you go at them basically the same every year.
Yes.
And I don't know for a lot of people if that's the way they
no, approach I'm a dinosaur. Games. Just say it. I'm a dinosaur. I play, you know what I mean? But it's okay. This is no different than it was 5 years ago, Brian. I've been playing this way for probably closer to 10 years. I never have been deep into, you know, any of the Ultimate Team scenes, you know, but anyone who's been listening to the show knows that. Like I am, which is funny, you know, because as so many sports games have changed, my way of playing them has not altered. In some cases, it hasn't altered at all because I've been playing in online Madden leagues, online franchise for 15 years, maybe more, maybe 20. I don't know. Whenever they created online franchise, I was in, and I've been in pretty much every year since, right? That's extremely specific. NBA 2K, for the most part, right? I play the same way, right? Which is the incredible, fantastic, you know, my GM, which allows you to jump in at any moment in time and play at any point in any game. And, you know, we've talked about how I play that and how incredible the experience is. But, you know, the difference with me, oh, and MLB, right? March to October is absolutely was fantastic and remains at the top of my list of major changes to sports video games in the last few years. So, yeah, but I'm so hopelessly the same, Brian. That's not a change for me. It's so incredible. Now, what I'm lucky in that all of those modes are continue to be supported. You know what I mean?
To an extent, maybe.
Again, right? You know, but I also and this isn't, you know, this isn't anything other than just a statement. I also have not played a couple games that I normally play. I have not played FIFA at all. Haven't tried the new one, and haven't played NHL at all. They just, you know, really have a spot in available, really, is what it comes down to, because I do play Madden and I do play NBA 2K, you know, and there's only 30 to 45 minutes a day most days I ever get to play anyway, right? So it's very limited time.
Yeah. And you've got 10-hour free trials. You could have gotten into those. You used to play.
I could have. Yeah.
You used to play FIFA or Pro Evo.
Every year, oh, for years and years and years. And it's not an anti-FIFA thing, right? Obviously, you know, Pro Evolution doesn't exist anymore. I mean, there's a new version of it, which everybody knows the story of that, right? So, you know, but I didn't play it the last couple of years anyway. And again, it's not them, it's me. I just, you know, in a very limited amount of time, there's only so many games that I can play. And the nice thing is with like the Madden schedule, you know, pretty much one or two nights a week, I'm going to know, okay, that's going to be my Madden game. You know what I mean? So, like, you know, there's less on my part, right? There's less desire to even try to jump into a different kind of game and learn the mechanics and get to play and stuff like that. Unless, you know, I'm compelled to. But, you know, it's pretty much Madden and NBA 2K and Forza Horizon for me. That's my rotation right now, you know. And some variation of that is – it won't be that much of a variation for a while. It hasn't been much of a variation since Forza Horizon came out.
Yeah, it's tough for me. I feel like, unlike you, I don't get the same thing out of the games that I used to when we talk about playing the same things essentially every year, playing through the same mode, playing through the same scenarios in many cases. Like, online franchise changes that because you got other people around you, right?
Yes. Even if it's just a 3 or 4 person online franchise, there's still juice there in that for me, you know?
Yeah. And that was even the case with Forza Horizon for me. I just feel like, okay, there's a lot of great things happening here, but I feel like I'm just going through the same motions again. And just completing the same type of tasks, and you know what worked for me this year, and I'm not necessarily saying it was the best sports game, but the one that I found the most enjoyment out of so far is NHL because I have a team.
Sure.
So that changes the calculation big time.
Totally.
In watching every single game this year, I used to watch hockey and certain the Stanley Cup Finals, the Olympics, you know, when there were big events going on. But and I understood the rules in essence, but like it, in watching every game, every minute of every game of the Kraken this year, I learned so much more about tactics.
Changes the experience when you watch all of the games.
And it changes how I approach the video game, playing in the video game too, because I'm trying to duplicate what I see and transfer that to how I play.
Well, I mean, our great friend Kat Bailey told us, you know, she learned to play FIFA by watching the Premier League, right? Mm-hmm. Like those are things that happen. And for, you know, when I was much more into the Premier League a couple, 2 or 3 years ago, I still follow it. I still watch things, but not to the extent. And it's really, again, it's about free time and availability, right? Not to the extent that I did a couple, 2, 3 years ago, but I absolutely went from being one of the world's worst FIFA players, again, well-documented on this podcast, well-documented, to being pretty darn good. Again, not, you know, really good. Not good like, his name is slipping my mind. I'll remember. You know, he's been on the show a bunch of times. He was our FIFA expert for a while. Not that level to where he can just stand at a spot and like kick it and curl it in, you know, to the top, you know, but functional, right? A guy who could win a few games here and there, right? Who could hold my own against Kat, you know, or Adrian Tazaniga or stuff like that, you know? I haven't made. And maybe a little bit that of is franchise fatigue, right? Because I do know that the franchise mode in FIFA this year hasn't been updated, but a lot more of it, frankly, has to do again with time and also the fact that the club that I support, Everton, is generally speaking not very good, right? So, you know, there's that. Kind of same thing with the NHL. The Devils are not as bad as they have been, but they're still not good. You know, and there's not an exciting young player to play with them or to play on them. You know, there is, you know, there's Jack Hughes and stuff like that. But again, not someone who would approach even a star level, much a superstar level at a video game level. So I will probably check out NHL at some point. But what do you think about NHL 22? Like, if you're playing it, what do you think about it?
Well, it was interesting because EA basically came out and said gameplay isn't going to be different. It's like graphically it's different, I think the thing for me is just that I'm playing it differently than I used to,
right?
And that I have an emotional attachment to a team that makes it more enjoyable. Like in the past, I got a lot of fun out of NHL back in the early days of online team play because you don't really need to know maybe the great online team play squads worked in that fashion, but you could have fun just going out there and skating around and, you know, one-timing it or doing, you know, all of that and laying out big hits and stuff.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, okay, I got to cycle this around, and I'm like, here's how I take advantage of a power play, or here's how I try to kill one off. All these different things about how not necessarily the game is different, just how it's different for me from my perspective. I don't know that NHL did anything remarkable this year. It was just different on that level for me.
There's all sorts of reasons you get into and get out of, right? And that's why I say, like, you know, the games, generally speaking, you know, are in really good places. You know, I mean, because if the NHL wasn't any good, you wouldn't be playing, right? So clearly it's at a very good level. Again, yeah, maybe, well, they said they didn't change, you know, the gameplay this year. But, hey, if you didn't play it the last year or two, you know, and if you did, then you understand that. At least they tell you that going in. But, you know, I think especially considering, obviously, the incredible challenges in development in the last 2 years, it's even more impressive the state of a lot of these games.
Yeah, I think a lot of these games are in a good place, maybe on a technical standpoint. I think creatively, mm-hmm. now maybe creatively is where the pandemic and all the limitations they had, maybe where it damaged them the most.
Could be.
So that's, you know, I don't feel inspired by any of the new features in these games. And you see, you know, Madden did some stuff with franchise mode, but I'll tell you what, as we're working our way through our league this season, and we're seeing all the reports about drafts not working in user franchises and or online franchises, and the scouting, the brand new scouting, which was highly touted and brought in as a patch that we all waited for 6 weeks, I think it sure seems like it leaves a lot to be desired. You generally don't spend a lot of time scouting, this is actually maybe a better system for you, but we're finding that you don't really have a ton of information on most of the players.
So that may all be completely accurate, but let me tell you something, Brian. Right? As a counterpoint to that, for years, I have been saying, and this wasn't me begging for this to be in the game, not by any stretch, right? For years, I have been saying, I would love to be able to have an influence on the kind of team that I have, the kind of, you know, style of football that I want to play, not based upon a playbook, but by me saying, I want to focus my resources on making my offensive line the best that it can possibly be. Because you know me, I am obsessive compulsive about offensive line play, right? Because, you know, as again, well documented on this show, for the Philadelphia Eagles, my favorite football team for 97% of my life, they have lost, you know, when it really mattered, to teams in their division that would ultimately that year go on and win Super Bowls, whether in Dallas or New York or Washington, right? Like these teams in the 80s and 90s, you know, when I first started watching football, and then through the 2000s, you know, like they would win. They would ultimately beat the Eagles when it mattered, because more often than not, they had fantastic offensive lines and they dominated time of possession and they ran the ball down your throat. And I've always, you know, been jealous of / love that style of football, because if you have a great offensive line, you know, and you play smart, conservative football, and you're not throwing the ball all over the place and risking interceptions and stuff, you're going to win a lot more than you're not going to, right? Regardless if you have the best halfback or the best quarterback. So my whole point of this is, Brian, like, and by the way, this is why I love how, like, literally right now the Philadelphia Eagles are playing, because they've completely said, you know what, we're going to focus on our offensive line and run the ball a ton, and they have a chance to salvage their season because of it. And the team that won the Super Bowl a few years ago had an excellent offensive line and they dominated time possession. All of that being said, the fact, Brian, that this year for the first time ever, I can pick to invest resources in a series of events that ultimately leads down the path, in this case of the offensive line, one of the offensive coordinator trees, to your offensive line having a +4 improvement. Mm-hmm. Right. And along that path, I'm able to say, make my offensive line better. And by the way, I'm doing that eschewing other things, like I can make my wide receivers better. I can make. Right. But that's because, Brian, I just love that. I love that. And then when you back that up with, once you figure out the system, and I didn't even figure out the system until just a few weeks ago, if that, not even like 2 weeks ago. If you pick the right weekly goals, right, you're not always going to get them. But if you get off the stupid ones, like score 5 rushing touchdowns, and you just put it on, like, get 150 yards rushing. Like, that's not easy to get 150 yards rushing, but that's something that I can aim for, right? Like, so if you can really be smart about it, you can really, I believe, have an influence on your team and how they play. Like, our team in 4-string, Brian, in that league, you know, you and I played, we'll talk a little bit more about the games. We played two games. I won one, you won one, mm-hmm. you know, and I really feel like both of us have put these teams in, you know, that we put these teams together, looking at what we have and trying to combine how we like to play football games and what we have there. And I feel like over the course of the season, we figured out some things. And you're probably going to win the division, but I might still make the playoffs. And I'm never going to win the Super Bowl in fourth spring, but so what? I've really enjoyed being able to say, I want to focus on my offensive mm-hmm. line and dedicate resources to it with a risk and reward for that. And now I have a really good running game, because I've gone all the way down that one line of that one tree, and I've maximized my offensive line ability on that side. There's other places I can get my offensive line to be better too, which I'm now working on. But like, I didn't look at anything except that one tree to get my offensive line
up. I think it was interesting when I was looking at the stats. Your team rated out as the number 3 rushing team in the league.
Okay.
You're also the number 32 passing team. So,
and
yes,
it's not because I don't pass.
You're
it's
chewing
not
clock.
I don't pass.
You're also
yes.
chewing. Yeah, you're limited.
That's how I like to win real football games.
Yeah.
Like, that's my point. Like, yeah. it's not about gaming the system. It's like, I want to run power football. I want to dominate the time of possession. I don't want to have any turnovers, right? I don't want to do anything stupid. You know, and for me to be able to do that, I need the best possible offensive line. Right now, you know, if I had Aaron Rodgers, I might have a different philosophy. I wouldn't have a drastically different philosophy, but I might have a slightly different philosophy. But, you know, you can't pass in Madden, at least in the fourth string. You can't pass because if you do, you throw interceptions. Like, I don't know what my interception to touchdown ratio is in fourth string, but it's not good. It's not. And if we get around to talking about our three-man league with Carson Wentz, it's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous.
Hey, you're not look, we have people in our league who have thrown over 60 interceptions,
yeah.
and you're not up there.
I'm not? Okay, good.
No,
good.
I
honestly don't know what I am. I do not know the stats. I haven't looked at any stats in the league because it doesn't matter. All I care about is winning and losing.
You have Jalen Hurts. Yeah, you're actually – you've limited interceptions really well, but you probably attempted the fewest passes. You have 17 touchdowns to 22 interceptions. Which,
oh, that's not bad
that's
for me.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. And in comparison, I have 31 touchdowns to 31 interceptions, something like that. But I've also started really the first half of the season, I did not – like my whole strategy was don't throw interceptions, and
right.
you still throw one or two.
Exactly,
you can't do anything about
it. If you throw more than 3 passes a game, you're going to throw an interception. That's just that's how the game is.
Yeah, but that's definitely one thing we've looked at, and like the interceptions, a lot of them are on the people. But yeah, it's like you're limiting your mistakes, your opportunities to make mistakes, and you're also limiting the number of possessions for both teams.
Like I really wonder how much better / not better I would be if I had one of the 3 or 4 best quarterbacks in the game. You know what I mean? Like
changes,
if I had,
yeah, it changes the way you play though, right? Like it does. Like there are throws you can make with quarterbacks, and there are others that you're like, if you even attempt that, you're going to get picked off.
Right.
So I don't know if we want to get too much in the league yet, but I made a trade on the football team. I had been stuck with Fitzpatrick and I was struggling with him, and I was able to get Matt Stafford, and now I can make some throws that I couldn't
right.
before. And like
you made a bunch of throws in our game that we played tonight. You must have converted at least 6 third downs
that was
in the air.
Killer. I knew that was probably really.
That was the game. Because the final score was 16-6, but it was a one score game until less than 2 minutes left to go in the game. I missed a field goal. I also missed an extra point. I also went for a couple of fourth downs, but it was a good game.
It was the fourth downs. You're not aggressive as a play caller, but you're aggressive as those fourth down opportunities, which every time I get you to fourth down, I start thinking about what play I'm choosing.
By the way, you went for the kill on a fourth down relatively late in the game as well. Like, and you went for one, which I thought was interesting. But no, I, you know, look, everybody knows what I do. Everybody knows what I do. There's no hiding it, and I'm not trying to hide it. Right? I'm trying to run the ball behind a really good offensive line. I try to get 3 to 6 yards, you know, most of the time on my runs, and then I try to, you know, and I West Coast it, you know, when it comes to passing. That's my only chance. It's my only chance, and sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. You know, you can see by my numbers, it's not conservative. It's just, you know, it's run heavy. You know, but that's because if I throw the ball long, it gets intercepted. Like, I cannot throw the ball. The only time I can throw the ball long is when there's a busted coverage, you know, and that doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen very rarely will you be able to make a guy get more than, you know, 3 or 4, you know, feet of separation, you know, on a deep route, in my experience. Now, again, I don't have great receivers, right? I mean, Devontae Smith has a superstar trait, and he's going to be a great receiver, but he's not. And the rest of the guys are, you know, just the Philadelphia Eagles. But, you know, again, that's why I say it'd be interesting to have, you know, a top-tier quarterback in or a top-tier receiver to see how different or similar my experience would be. But I feel like with the roster that I have and then my ability to influence the offensive line, hey, look, worst case scenario, right? Like, we're going into the last week of the season, and if I win my game, chances are I'm in the playoffs. And if I win my game and you lose your game, I win the division. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's pretty heady stuff.
Yeah, yeah, you're getting 5 yards a carry, and Miles Sanders has almost 1,600 yards, I think, on the season.
Right, it's really good numbers. It's not stupid, crazy numbers. It's just really good because, you know, Miles Sanders is my workhorse back.
Interestingly, I don't feel like I've been very successful on the ground, but Antonio Gibson is getting 5.1 a carry, and then I signed Bo Scarborough as my backup, and I actually have pretty good success with him, 5.6.
Well, you moved the ball up and down the field against me.
That was the difference. That was one of the differences between our two games. Is in the first game, I think I only ran for like 36 yards. In the second game, I'm sure I had maybe 150.
Well, you won our second game the way that I like to win football games. You dominated the time of possession. You absolutely dominated. You utilized the clock perfectly. You did it exactly as I try to do. Like, you got the ball to start the game. You had like an 8-play, 78-yard, 6-minute drive for a touchdown, right? Yeah. Then I got the ball. I got a couple first downs, and then, you know, I think it was like your 40 or 38. I had a fourth down. I was not going to make the field goal. I didn't want to punt. And you got me, right? And then you went and you scored. Did you? No, you got held you to a field goal. Yeah. But, like, you had, what, 3 possessions and 3 scores in the first half, and I had 3 possessions, no scores, including a missed field goal. Right, right. You own the clock, and then you continue to own the clock in the second half.
Well, I'll tell you, I learned a lot from our first game. Not how to play you, because we played so many times, and this was my approach in the first game. I'll tell you. You know, I'm going to tell you some things at risk of us actually meeting in the playoffs. But the first game, I was like, okay, we played so many times. We don't surprise each other anymore. I'm going to be super aggressive. And what that led to was mistakes.
Interceptions.
I threw a couple red zone interceptions. Which
yes, you did. It's hard to win when you do that. At least neither of them. They weren't pick sixes, I don't think, early ones.
No. So they weren't devastating, and that's why I was still in the game at the end. You took the lead. I had a 4-point lead.
I had a bunch of mistakes in that game, too. Like, I should not have won our game. Should have won both games.
That was a true divisional, NFL divisional game. In the second game, I'm like, okay, I learned from those mistakes. And then I had a different approach. I had a different approach on defense. I'm not going to tell you what I did differently, but my main thing on offense, and this worked maybe 75% of the time, was I manually double teamed Fletcher Cox.
Nice.
There were, and I actually had notes up on my computer with like a big letters. Double team Fletcher Cox, because often I go into Madden games and I'm like, okay, I got to worry about this pass rusher. I want to shift my offensive line. I want to double.
Right.
And then by the end of the game, I realize I never did it. So I had it big up on my computer screen, double Fletcher Cox. And I did. There were a couple times where I doubled him and he still just destroyed my offensive line.
Yeah, but you, I mean, you know, I don't always use her Fletcher Cox, but I, you know, I'll get in there as Fletcher Cox and try to do a bull rush and mess things up. And I got in there once or twice, but for the most part, you definitely handled Fletcher Cox because I feel like he did not influence the game at all.
Yeah, that was the big thing I wanted to do, and it worked most of the time. He did blow up a couple plays.
A couple times.
That I was looking for a big shot downfield and I couldn't get it away. But yeah, you know, tactically it was fun to approach it differently. And then also, you know, like I looked at my Washington football team with the way my players are rated. Like I should have had a good run defense and I was very poor against the run. I was like 29th against the run in the middle of the season. And then I changed up my defensive playbook. I changed up my defensive approach. And from there, I think I'm like down to 17th or 16th in run defense. You torched me in that first game pretty well, but I kind of contained it in the second game.
Oh, you absolutely did. I had like 82 yards with Miles Sanders, which might be his lowest output of the year. Now, he only had 15 or 16 or 17 carries, you know, but even if I'm down, like in our game, even if I'm down, I'm still running the ball. I'm never going to just start tossing long bombs. Like, because again, it's just dumb. There's no way for me to complete long passes in this game. And, you know, well, look, it's just how it is.
You know, we've had a lot of, there's been a lot of discourse about the game in our league, a lot of struggling with, you know, what do we need to fix? What do we need to try and fix? Sliders.
Right.
And at one point in the season, sliders were changed, and then they were reverted back.
And you can't do that in the middle of the season. You do it in the off season. That's fine. Like, you know, I get it. You cannot do it in the middle of the season, especially when, like I was saying, I'm focusing on building my offensive line. Like I'm spending all of the resources I get every week on that. And then all of a sudden they made fundamental changes, which completely nerfed the offensive line. I'm like, wait a second.
Yeah. Well, one of the problems is that you should have a good offensive line. Your guys should. But like across the league, defensive lines are not getting any pressure. Pretty much very few sacks go around. But
it's statistically much more realistic. Like, the teams don't get 10 sacks a game. Don't get, like, more than two sacks in a game. Like, sacks are not every pressure. Possession.
Right. But you got to get some pressure, and you don't really feel it, at least this year.
Yeah. I disagree with all of that. But even so, I was fine with making changes, just not in the middle of a season. You just don't do that. That's all. That was my – it could have been changes that benefited me. Right. It wasn't about hurting me or helping me. That was just a sad irony of it. It was that they were also just hurting. I felt like I was being targeted. It was just like, look, you know, you don't do that in the middle of the season. Yeah, you just can't.
There were people who were pretty much, and maybe still are, just not having fun with the game. And
well, if you're not having fun, don't play it. Yeah. Like I'm having fun with the game. It drives me insane all the time. Like in our game, in our first game, Brian, I had a fumble. Like, you know, it was no fault of mine. I had a beautiful touchdown, beautiful, like 70-yard touchdown.
Oh, don't tell me it was the right call
for a block. I'm not saying it was the wrong call.
I gave up on that play once I saw the flag come because I was like, whoa, yeah, I might have been able to tackle you if not for that.
Devontae Smith got a block in the back. I'm not saying it was the wrong call. I'm just saying, like, you know, you want to talk about something that I had no influence. I did something great. I had no influence over, and the game just decides, we're going to make this guy, you know.
Well, look, my argument for years has been something that you totally disagree with, which is the reason why one of the big reasons why, you know, offenses generally rule the day in Madden, and why we want more pressure, why we want maybe to see more sacks is because there aren't negative plays in Madden.
There really aren't. All the time.
How often, Rich, do you end up in like 3rd and 14? Not very often. Almost every time I play you, it's 3rd and 1.
But that's because I run the ball on 1st and 2nd down behind a really good offensive line.
Sure. There are not, I still believe, though, there aren't enough negative plays.
That's fine. I don't know. I have zero data to back up any argument. You know what I mean? I don't know. I have no idea.
That's fine. And that's fine. And that's what you enjoy. I feel like if penalties were called more, if there was more pressure on the quarterbacks. Yes.
More?
Yeah.
More penalties. Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
When's the last time you saw a defensive holding? Never. Look, no. It creates a different challenge. Look. There was a franchise, and we talked about this once, there was a franchise I was in where I lost the game essentially because of a I think it was pass interference or something, but it clearly wasn't. And I was like, well, I had an opportunity to overcome it after that, and I didn't do it. So I didn't care. I actually thought it was kind of cool. But anyways,
right.
It just creates a different type of challenge. But you don't like challenges, Rich.
So that's not true whatsoever. That is, one has nothing to do with the other. Disliking artificially called penalties to make a game more quote unquote realistic when on, the third holding call of the game is when I got a first down on a third and four because I was able to call the right play and sneak to the line. That's all I'm talking about.
In theory, your superior offensive line should not be committing those, right?
That's so, exactly right.
That's the advantage you should be getting, but it doesn't seem to matter right now. But anyways, I'm having fun.
I'm having a great time. Yeah. Even when they make the changes next year, that will make the game much more difficult for me. I'll still play. I will show up for the games all the time because it's just fun to be in an online football league, right? The game may or may not be, great or good to you. It's offensive linemen definitely get hurt way too much. Don't know why that's a thing.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's true.
It's fun. It's fun to play, at least for me. Like the fact that I'm willing to spend a couple hours a week playing in online leagues, right? And we play in our three-man league, which, Brian, let's talk about that league for a minute.
Yeah, let's move on. Before we do, let me just say there's going to be, for anyone who's listening and interested, we play on Xbox Series X, I guess what Series S would also work. There are expected to be a few vacancies. If you are interested, there is a link to apply. It's on, I tweeted it recently on Twitter, Pasta Padre.
Also, this league I'm talking about, like this is the fourth string. This originated with Adrian Tanzaniga, who's still a huge part of it. This is 15 or 20 years old. This is the real deal. Like this is people who love Madden. It's not the height of competition, although there are some really good players in there. But if it were the height of competition, Ryan, I wouldn't be in there, right?
No, this is just right. People who want to have a good time.
And people have been in it the whole time. Some people are brand new, and there's everything in between. But this league, this community has been a thing for a long time. It started, this podcast wouldn't be here if it weren't for the Fourth String League, right? Like, and that is not an exaggeration in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, so there's
an incredibly influential podcast.
Yeah, no, it's very active, very fun because not only are we playing the games, and for the most part, people respecting kind of the guidelines and the rules
for the most part. And when they don't, they get booted eventually, right?
Yeah, or they get suspended.
Right.
We had an incident recently. But
I don't pay attention. Yeah, I went into the Discord to decry the change of the settings in the middle of the year and haven't been back since because, I don't need to get involved.
There are expected to be some vacancies. You can apply. There's an application. Like I said, it's on my Twitter. You can find it on the Four String Twitter, which is 4THSL. Or you can just tweet at me and I'll send it your way. But yeah, we're going to need a few people and you would be coming in, taking over teams in the off season. So in preparation for the free agency and the draft. So you'll have an opportunity to work with your team before you start playing with them. Of course, the teams have been altered. I think the Patriots owner just dropped after this season, and they don't have they made a quarterback trade. So, and I think they
no Mac Jones.
No, he's on the Rams. So they, really? A lot of quarterback shuffling. Mac Jones went to the Rams for Matthew Stafford in a package, and then the Patriots guy wanted to get rid of Stafford. He went to me via Miami. A lot of shuffling there. So quarterback situation in New England is not set if you end up as the Patriots owner. But there were a ton of trades, a lot of trade activity, and very fun. I had a great time negotiating some trades. It was like a
fleeced
thing.
I've been fleeced way too many times by the people in this league to ever make trades again, ever.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Oh, it's great. It's great fun. I've been fleeced.
It's fun. It's fun because we are very much, you're not just playing one season. We plan to play four. And so very much some teams took the strategy of making moves to set themselves up for year two and year three instead of necessarily winning right now.
I got three draft picks too, Brian, right now.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Three first round picks, I should say. Excuse me.
Are you going to be there and actually do the draft, or are you?
The chances are extremely slim to nil.
Oh, geez.
Not that I don't want to.
It may not even work. So it may not.
Right.
May not matter.
That's exactly right.
So yeah, if you're interested, check
it out.
Which
is why I will trade all three of those for a great quarterback. Yeah. I'll just put it out there right now. Yeah.
We stream every game, there's a Daddy Leagues page. I also tweeted that link out where you can just follow the developments of our league. You can see all our stats. You can see our records. You can see the matchups and everything. If you're curious, and we also do I was on the last one, but the guys do a semi-regular podcast talking about the league. So it's a lot of activity.
And that podcast is not the originator of this podcast.
Correct.
Not at all.
That one.
Not though.
No. So yeah, on to our personal league with, with three of us involved. And this is something we've done for years because as opposed to four string with all user controlled teams where you have to coordinate schedules, it's
right.
We can breeze through this thing pretty quickly and advance every night or two.
Yes.
With just three of us.
Have all of us now won a Super Bowl?
Yes.
At least one? Okay. Yeah. I was the last one who hadn't, right? Yeah. So now I'll be fine.
Yeah, I won a couple last year. I won two last year. Dylan won one. And then I won one to start this year, and that you won the last one, which...
I won the Super Bowl a couple of days ago, Brian. I finally did. Me, and by the way, with the worst team I've ever had in any of our leagues.
You complained the whole season. You complained.
Because they were terrible. I was like 2-7, right? Like, at my worst, what was my record? Are you able to pull any of that
I think
up?
You ended up 9-8, I think.
9-8, and then I ripped off three victories in the playoffs. Never had to play either you nor Dylan. Yeah, so I was like, I can do this.
The two of us got knocked out. So I'm in that league. I'm Miami. He's Chicago. So very much rebuilding teams. We got knocked out in the divisional round. You as the Colts.
Right.
You were lucky enough to have a division where the next best team was 6-11 or something.
Lucky it does not begin to describe it. Had I been in any other division in the league, I would not have made the playoffs. It wouldn't have happened. But I was in the division that I was in, therefore, at 9-8, and by the way, winning at 5, maybe 6 in a row. Are you able to pull up the numbers? We have to look at these numbers because you know that's why. What was Jalen Hurts? He was like 17-22 TD to interception, something like that.
In the fourth string.
Yeah. Carson Wentz, dude. Carson Wentz is my quarterback. And by the way, again, this is the team that won the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz, he's got to have over 30 interceptions, maybe 40. I don't even know. But you got to look at, you got to pull up his numbers. Meanwhile, Jonathan Taylor, and again, I did the same thing with this Colts team that I did with the Eagles team. I invested all of my resources and improved my offensive line so that over the season, the offensive line gets better and better and better. And then got Jonathan Taylor, who's a superstar running back, and I'm just, you know, and it's, again, it's not cheesing. Like, I'm not calling the same play over and over. I'm calling all sorts of different stuff. And then I'm using play action, you know, like I'm just pounding the ball with Taylor and then trying to have Carson Wentz not ruin it by throwing interceptions. Although he threw so many interceptions. So many. Do you have the numbers in front of you?
I can't find him. Did you cut him?
I did.
That's why he's not showing up in the stats.
Oh, no.
Because right now you have Jameis Winston.
I signed Jameis Winston, yeah. So I win the Super Bowl, and then I cut Carson Wentz, and I signed Jason Jameis Winston.
I might be able to find him in free agency as we continue talking.
Okay.
Yeah, so you got the cold. You made that run. You were like, yeah.
It was a run. I was like 2-7, I think, was my record. Because I just lost. It was terrible. I couldn't win a game to start the whole season. But, like, because I was in that awful, awful division, the games I was able to win, I was able to beat Jacksonville. I was able to beat Houston. And I was losing to everybody else. I could also pull it up on my Xbox and go back through the schedule, I think. Although now that we've advanced to the offseason, I might not be able to even do that. But I was 5 or 6 games under 500. And then I finally just started pulling off a couple of victories. And there were I don't know how many pick sixes I threw, but I mean, none of the games were easy, right? I always text you after every single game, and I always give you a quick little, like, 1 or 2 sentence. You know what? I'm actually going to pull up. This might be the best way to do it. I'm going to pull up my text history with you, Brian.
By the way, in that league, I had the Dolphins, and I made a trade very early in the season to get Jalen Hurts, your guy.
My guy. I love Jalen Hurts in real life and in Madden.
Yeah, and he won the MVP. I won the MVP with him.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know if you saw that, but I got a big boost to his ratings after that. I can't seem to find his stats.
All right, so let's see here. I'm not gonna go all the way back here, but maybe not. Week one is underway, right? So I lost 24-23 on a last minute field goal. After the first game, you traded someone for Jalen Hurts, right? Mm-hmm. So Colts lose 24-23 to start. Then I lose again. I had a 10-point lead in the third and I blew it. And you're like, I'm 0-2 also. Yeah. In week three, Colts beat the Titans in a wild one. I got down early, had 3 fumbles, but fought back and hung on late. Here we go. This is really fascinating stuff. But let's see here. Colts win. Easy win, too. Houston is terrible. Okay. So there you go. You needed a last-second field goal to beat the Jaguars. Uh-huh. I got completely hosed the next game. I had the game in hand, up 7 to the Niners. I have the ball, 3rd and 22. They have the ball with 3rd and 22 with less than 2 minutes to go. Tip ball, circus catch, sprint in the end zone for the tying touchdown. Went to overtime. 3rd and 18 at their 35, a total prayer thrown up by the Niners, caught at the 3. I hold them on 1st, 2nd, and 3rd down. They go for a TD on 4th and complete it on a sack miss, wild toss in the end zone. Wow. Then Colts lose again. I cannot win with this team. Defense is hideous. Wentz can't play. Okay, I was 2-6 after 8 games. Oh, 2-6 after 8 games. And then I say, I don't know if I'll win another game with this mess of a team. Wentz is killing me. God, he's terrible. Listen to this, okay? I was 2 minutes and 5 seconds from hitting rock bottom. I was shut out to that point, except for a fumble I picked up for a TD. I was down 19-7. I completed a couple of long passes, made it 19-14, and kicked off with 2:03 left. At the 2-minute warning, for some reason, the Jets passed, and I picked it off at their 20. I ran and passed until I threw a touchdown with 35 seconds left. Then I made the 2. I hold the Jets off at the end to win 22-19. Utterly impossible to win, but I did it, and I'll take it. I hate this team so much. They're bad at everything. Colts win. Oh, my God. 2 wins in a row against the 2 worst teams in the NFL. Oh, my God. Colts lose a heartbreaker. I tied it up with 13 seconds left in the game. Bills get the ball in OT, go all the way down the field and score a TD. Then I beat Tampa 21-14. The biggest key was a pick six I got when I almost sacked Brady. That was the difference. But then I lost my 96 overall left guard for the season.
Oh.
Then I beat the Texans again. Then despite 4 interceptions from Wentz, I beat the Patriots 21-14. Then I'm like, wow, I'm going to win the division. Then I lose thanks to two devastating pick sixes. Then I win again. I'm 8-8. I'm a division champ. Then I win the meaningless ninth win of the regular season. And then I beat – who did I beat in the playoffs?
Well, I know you beat the the Chiefs in the AFC Championship because Mahomes torched me. I could not stop him in the divisional round.
I got the Broncos in the first round. I beat him 31-7, destroyed him. Then I played the Chiefs and I won 28-21 and I had a near flawless game. I say I played a near flawless game. So 28-21, I shouldn't have won that game. I think I got like an interception or two that was like, I was like, okay. And then I beat, wait, where is it?
I have some statistics for you.
Oh, let's hear it. Let's hear it.
Imagine a Super Bowl winning team that had a turnover differential of negative 30 on the season.
And there's a lot of fun. That's that not is, just interceptions. That's that fumbles,
is,
too.
That is the worst in the league. Negative 30. You had actually not terrible 36 interceptions. 47. You fumbled a lot, too. 47 total giveaway.
Told you. Fumbled a lot.
11 fumbles lost. Yeah.
And Wentz is probably 8 of those fumbles lost.
Yeah. So yeah, I got a kick out of seeing negative 30 for differential from a Super Bowl winner.
Yeah,
that's not generally not the formula that's going to get you to a championship.
No. I was 6-8, and then I didn't lose another game, and made a run all the way. Beat the Broncos, beat the Chiefs, and then beat the Packers. I mean, look, I knocked out Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. That's pretty good.
I did not expect that to happen because I could not stop Mahomes. He threw for almost 600 yards against me.
Oh my God.
Yeah, but I was still in that game. By the way, I had NFL record, see if I can find it, NFL record, 800 and some yards passing with Hurts in a game.
That's ridiculous. How the heck do you do that? How do you do that?
I don't know. I hit a couple early long passes, and then I just said to myself, "Let's see how much I can get here."
But like, are you just throwing bombs?
Pretty much. I had a few plays that seemed pretty effective. We play an all pro in that league, and a few plays that seemed really effective. Also, I was super simming the defense, which doesn't run off enough clock, so I was probably getting a lot more plays in. NFL records, let's see. In a season. Yeah, in a game, Jalen Hurts, 809 yards passing. I also had a 719. I also set a Jalen Waddle set a
NFL Alabama, record. Another Alabama guy.
NFL record, 25 receptions in a game.
Wow.
yeah, so I it,
what as was the season, score of that game?
Oh man. I don't. There were a few games where I scored in the 60s.
In the 70s? Okay.
Yeah, in the 60s.
By the way, that would not be allowed in four string. This is only something you do in our side league.
Funny thing is, those games that I was referencing, I pulled Hurts, actually, for like a couple drives at the end. That's how many plays I was getting in. I was like, no, I got to get my backup some reps here, and I don't want to risk injury, but... Yeah, I was just kind of dicking around, but it was fun just see what I could actually get with that. And then now Hurts, what is he rated now? Let's see. He's in one season, he's gone. Where did he start? He is now up to... he's at 84. He probably started in the mid 70s or something like that.
That's nice. That's awesome.
So that's cool. And then Waddle also is now. Waddle's already up to 90 after his rookie season. So get ready for a beast right there.
So even though I got three first round picks in fourth string, I got no first round picks in this league. As we mentioned, I cut Carson Wentz and signed Jameis Winston. But you know what? You guys are now going to do what you do, right, which is what you just said, and you're going to max out all your players, and you're going to overtake the league and have a league full of atomic supermen. But that's all right because I won the Super
you
Bowl
got yours. Yeah.
in the first year, so I'm okay with that.
Yeah, you know? You got yours.
I'm okay with it.
Although
and look,
I did.
And it'll go back to how it usually is, where I'll make it to the championship game of whichever conference you guys are in, and then I'll lose to you guys in the conference, yeah. in the championship, and that's okay.
Well, we'll see.
Now,
you
wait.
Never know.
I'm the Colts. You're the
Dolphins.
Yeah. And we didn't play each other this year, right?
We did.
Oh, and you beat me then.
I took a big lead on you. I was actually a rarity for us. I jumped up to like 27-7.
How do I not remember this 3 game?
Or something. I don't know. And then you came back and made it a one possession game at the end.
I don't remember this game. No, that is sad and a little upsetting, frankly, that I don't have any recollection of the game.
Yeah, it's funny. At that point, it was early in the season, maybe like the fourth or fifth game. And at that point, I was telling myself I was probably tanking. I was like, yeah, I'll get a top five pick. This will be pretty cool. And then I just kept winning games big. Like my offense just went crazy. I wasn't very good running the ball, but passing with Hurts, I was just slinging it everywhere. So that was fun. But yeah, so we're heading into our second season there. We'll see what happens with the draft. I guess it's not much of a concern of yours in this one.
I hope the computer doesn't just totally ruin it for me. I mean, that's my only hope. If they do, then, you know, whatever. You know, what can I do? I don't know.
Yeah, we'll see. So we'll keep people updated on that later in 2022. We'll come back for an update since everybody will be asking.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I don't know. Anything else you want to touch on, Rich?
Forza Horizon is really fun. I like it much. I was a huge fan of the series until 4. Did not like 4. Had a lot of problems with 4. They're well documented here. I like 5 much, much, much more than 4. I play it all the time. Played it today on the treadmill. It's super fun. I still have trouble figuring out what I'm supposed to be doing and how much of a thing that I have done. But, you know, I just go around and I race all the time and I pick different cars. And I've got 2 million credits in the bank and I don't care. Like, I'm not chasing anything. Like, you know, I feel like the game is incredibly generous to someone like me who's, you know, just playing it to race and have fun. I'm constantly getting wheel spins and new cars or credits or emojis, which drive me crazy. I'm like, I wish I could opt out of getting emojis or clothes because I don't use any of that stuff. But I do like getting credits, even though I never spend them. I do like getting cars, even though I rarely use them. Big fan of Forza Horizon 5. Lots of fun.
Non-sports game. Have you played Guardians of the Galaxy?
No, I only listen to a couple of podcasts now. One of them is the same one I've listened to for a long time, which is the Player One podcast, and they love that game. And it's on my list. I got to get to it because I've heard nothing but good things about it.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through it. It's pretty great. Question for you. 2022, Rich, before we go. So if we're talking college football game, that's not coming out until summer 2023.
At the earliest.
Yeah, potentially 2024, depending on how developed.
Which is fine. Take all the time you want. Take all the time you want.
2022, what is the game you're looking forward to most? Keeping in mind that we may very well have new games, a new golf game from EA, and a new football game, likely an arcade game from 2K. Is it just one of the annual titles that you're looking forward to most?
Well, I mean, NBA 2K is just so good, right? And I play it regularly. It's just so good. But, like, I'm not looking forward to it because I'm so knee-deep into it now that it's fine. I'm definitely like, I'm going to play, you know, I'm day one, maybe not day one, but I'm obviously going to, all barring something ridiculous happening, I will continue to support NBA 2K and MLB The Show and Madden. Like those are the sports games that I play now regularly. I really hope that the EA golf game is something awesome because, you know, video game golf can be a great time, you know, especially if you're playing at really interesting places. And the golf club or PGA, you know, PGA Tour 2K is an excellent game. And I'm just interested to see the counterpoint to that game from EA, which has not made a golf game in a while, but there is that in their DNA. They have made some very special golf games. You know, the Masters, Augusta, I believe, Brian, is a big part of it. Like, that's very exciting to me. You know, and exciting in a way that I'm not, like, jumping out the window in excitement. But I'm going to be very, like, the first day that I can play the game, I'm going to. Like, I'm very interested in seeing what that is. You know, the 2K football, sure, great. I don't have any idea what it is. And I'm sure it's going to be really good, whatever it is. Like, I have 100% confidence that whatever they're doing is going to be really good because they know what they're doing when it comes to making games. So, I have a very positive frame of mind about sports video games heading into 2022.
Yeah, for me, it's the 2K football game, and it's not because of anything NFL 2K in the past. It's just different. It's
nothing. Yeah, let's see what you got. Absolutely. Yeah,
and that's kind of what I'm looking for right now, is something different, something that's going to connect in a unique way that, you know, we haven't had. You know, arcade games have kind of fallen by the wayside over the years, and just have no idea what they're going to bring with that. We know it can't be a simulation football game, but other than that, they can get creative with it. And, you know, they've got the NFL and the players on board, so it's going to be something legit.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just hope it's not all about microtransactions. I think it's way harder to do that in an arcade game, if that's what they
intend. Who knows? People spend money on things that they like. You know, it's funny. I mentioned this on the Dodcast a little while ago, but my son, who's, you know, a teenager, loves Team Fortress 2. Like, that's his game these days, right? Him and he, you know, his crew that he likes to, you know, that they hang out with at school, Team Fortress 2 is their game. You know, and, you know, he's sort of, you know, he's got that, you know, microtransactions are bad, you know, from, I guess, just, you know, if you're a fan of video games, you know, you just hear that regularly in different places. And yet the dude loves dropping 5 or 10 or 15 Steam bucks into the account and getting the cool stuff to make his Team Fortress 2 and experience better. And I just tell him, dude, I'm like, look, you talk about microtransactions, but this is literally what microtransactions are, but this is your money. Like, he spends his money. Like, he earns it. He gives it to me. And I'm like, you know, you're getting value from this. You like it. You wouldn't be spending your money on these, you know, cool hats and outfits and stuff if you didn't like it, right? Like, you wouldn't. He's like, well, yeah. I'm like, I'm telling you, trust me on this. People don't spend their money on microtransactions in any video game, not just sports video games, any video games, if they don't get some value from it, right? And I'm not saying that there aren't monetization, aggressive monetization strategies or anything like that. I'm not here to debate that they're all good, you know. But what I am saying is what I've said many times. Video game players, video game customers are the smartest customers there are. And they won't spend money on microtransactions unless they feel like they're getting something of value for it. And if it is riddled with transactions that are not well implemented, it's not going to be successful. It's just not. But if there's microtransactions in it, that doesn't mean it's not going to be good. It just means that maybe different people might have different experiences. You know, I don't know. I'm just, you know, and this is before I got into the development side. Like,
I guess it's different in my viewpoint if you're buying something as opposed to rolling the dice on like a pack opening. And then also with sports games, you get wiped out every year. You get wiped out and you got to start all over. Everything you spent in the previous game is gone, right?
Right. So. Again, this is not hidden or obfuscated. Everybody knows it, right? It's not as if you're told otherwise, I guess, right? Like so, and I'm not saying you're wrong. You know what I mean? And that's a decision you have to make. You know what I mean? Like, is spending a certain amount of money for an experience that's going to last you a certain amount of time a good thing? You know, like, what's, I don't know. I'm not here to defend or say, I'm just saying, like, you know, in my experience, both as a customer and as a, you know, developer, publisher, you know, people don't just spend money unless they're enjoying it and getting something good out of it. They just don't, you know, because they have 1,000 choices of what to do with their money. If you deliver something that's good and of value, people will, you know, some people will spend the money on it, and that's okay.
Yeah.
And sometimes it gets too much or too aggressive or too in your face. And, you know, I get that, right? I'm not an idiot. I understand.
Yeah.
But just because microtransactions exist, Brian, doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to be good. Don't know.
It'll be interesting to see with the two golf games where you have competition.
Yes.
How aggressive do they get in those areas? So
will, you know, there be any? I mean,
it's hard to do. I mean, 2K did do some of that.
There's some, yeah. Now, I played a ton of PGA 2K and never for a second even, I don't know what I would have even spent my money on. I guess it would have been hats and shirts and pants and shoes, right? Like, I don't know. And I don't mean that in a negative way. Like, I just, you know, if they were trying hard to get me to spend money, they didn't. Uh-huh. They certainly didn't make it obvious to me what I would have got from it. But, I mean, I don't feel like that's the kind of vibe that they were giving off in PGA 2K anyway. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that wasn't really what they are all about, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, it's been a, I don't know, I would say it's a down year for a lot of things, but
not me.
Not for you.
No.
And that's fine. Was for me, at least in the gaming sense, but that's okay. You know, I've had down years before. And then, you know, you find something that strikes a chord, and it kind of rejuvenates the love of all those things. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens next year. I am still looking forward to all those games.
Darn right. Me too. There's more games coming out next year than there were this year. That's a good thing.
That's something to think about. And, you know, I'm going to continue playing in things like our Madden franchise, which is what keeps that alive for me.
Absolutely. If there wasn't Madden franchise, like if there wasn't our online franchise, like, you know, I don't know that I'd have the juice. You know what I mean? Just don't know.
All right, Rich, unless you got something else.
That's it, my friend. That's awesome. It. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's good to catch up.
I like seeing Rocky in the background.
Yeah, yeah. This is not a video podcast, but if it was, you would see Rocky in the background.
Occasionally, getting up, turning around.
He'll hop up onto the chair, and then he'll wander off and get water, and then he might show back up later. That's the entertainment I'm glad I could provide. We'll check back in. I like talking now that I figured out a way that seems to work with my hearing.
Good.
As far as recording things, hopefully we can do them a little more frequently. You know, we may not have enough to do it, you know, every 2 weeks or every month, but we'll try to do it a little more frequently, I think, because I, you know, it's nice to get back into the flow of things. So
absolutely. And hey, Brian.
Yeah.
Happy holidays, my friend.
Yeah, man. Same to you and everyone out there listening. Thank you for tuning in to the Press Row Podcast with Rich Grisham. I'm Brian Weedye, Pasta Padre. Everyone, happy holidays and take care.
Happy holidays.